Hi, friends. I'm Lee Nienheis, and this is episode 95 of the Moms in Prayer podcast. You guys, it's week 3 of COVID-19 stay home, and this week our family school was canceled for the year. Let's go ahead and say it wasn't our favorite day, but we keep reminding ourselves of all the things that we know to be true, the things that Moms in Prayer has taught me. Our God is good, even now. Our God is strong, even in this, and our God is for us, even if. These are the days we will remember for the rest of our lives, and we want to remember them being full of faith and hope, and that's the kind of moms we want to be. Today's guests are a special treat. I was expecting Angela Rogers, and I got to sit down with not only Angela, but her daughter, Grace Anna. Their story is filled with ups, downs, and hope. Well, hope and worship. You're going to want to listen to the very last second, I promise. Grace Anna has a rare form of dwarfism called Conradi-Hunermann syndrome, but her personality is huge. You're gonna love Angela and Grace Anna, I promise. You may actually have seen them on Good Morning America or Facebook or the YouTube page. Grace Anna has a voice you'll remember forever, and you can hear that precious voice sing to us at the end. Show notes for today's episode can be found on the Moms in Prayer website at momsinprayer.org. So just relax and listen close. You aren't going to wanna miss a word. Let's welcome Angela and Grace Anna to our show. I'm on today in the middle of a quarantine week with Angela and Grace Anna Rogers, and they are here with me from Kentucky. So you guys, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, Linda.
We're so glad that you're here right now. Angie, this has been so fun. We were supposed to talk last week, and I actually had extra time to read all of your book and to get to know Grace Anna through her book, too.
I'll let you know that I have a new person. Her name is Natalie.
You guys, we are looking at Grace Anna's. Is that a paper doll right now?
She loves paper dolls.
Oh, that's so fun. So, Angie, I'm so excited that you can be here with us today. Tell us a little bit about your family.
I am married to my wonderful husband, Jeff, and I have two amazing children, Isaiah, who is 22, and Grace Anna, who is 9. And we live pretty close to my husband's mom, Norma Jean. She's 86. So we are her caretakers, as well as taking care of our own little family.
Mom, she's not turned 86
yet. Oh, she's not 86 yet.
She's 85.
85, okay. So she knows the dates better than I do. But we live out in rural Kentucky. We love it. Love the land. Love being able to walk outside and hear the birds chirping and the animals rustling about. But I did teach for a long time, and God made a way for me to stay home with this beautiful girl and help take care of her.
Well, Angela, did you always want to be a mom?
I know this is going to sound crazy to a lot of women, but when I grew up, that was my number one dream. I was a really good athlete. I played basketball and softball, and both of my parents thought that was my dream, to play basketball somewhere and coach basketball. But I wanted to be a mama more than anything on this earth. And I always wanted a house full. You know, I got two, very blessed to have the two, but my dream was to have probably 10. That didn't work out, but God knows better than I do, I guess.
I understand. There was a time when my husband said he wanted 12 kids, and I thought that was a really great idea until we had two, and now we have four. So, but it was a rocky path to motherhood, right?
It was. I lost one very early on in life when I was 18, and I married Isaiah's dad, and we had him, and unfortunately, the marriage did not last, and I met my husband, Jeff, and we lost three babies right off the bat, and it just about broke me as a person the last one especially, because, you know, you're just wanting it so badly. And at the time, my husband's dad was very sick and he wanted to see a grandchild. And fortunately, that didn't get to happen. He sees them now in heaven, but he never got to meet Grace Anna. But three miscarriages, Mommy, anybody that goes through that,
you don't know that, Mom. You don't know that because what are all these strange things that are happening in his house right now? Door opening automatically, toilet flushing automatically.
Grace Anna, you are clearly 9 years old. Clearly. We already said I have a 9-year old and you guys are twins. So clearly. So, Angela, in your book, you talk about praying in the shower during that time. I wonder, like, in the middle of that, three miscarriages in a row. I've had one, and that was a significant amount of brokenness. I'm sure this was a lot of praying and thinking. And I just wonder, like, what were those prayers like in the middle of that time?
A lot of times, God was holding me up. That is the only way I can describe it, because I was still having to get up, teach middle school. And it's really tough when you see pregnant people around you. And I had a friend that was pregnant. My child would have been born the same time her child was born. It was tough watching it. It was tough going in every day and smiling to my students. And a lot of it was, you know, give me strength to walk. Give me strength to smile when I don't feel like smiling. And I also prayed that God would give us an opportunity, not just for me, but for my husband. You know, men, a lot of times they want to be strong for everybody and they won't talk about how they're feeling. And I knew it was breaking my husband in two. And I felt so horrible for him because I had Isaiah. He wanted a baby so badly. So I kind of prayed for him also to just touch his heart and touch his spirit, because he was really broken also. And then I prayed that if it wasn't meant to be, to give me the peace to accept it. If we were not going to be parents together, I was going to have to be able to get through it. And I had given up on getting pregnant again. And I did not want to try again. And God had other plans. And we had a big surprise right before Christmas. And, you know, the first 2-3 months, you're a little scared. You're a little shaky. You know, is this, we're going to go through the same thing again? And so I would get in that shower, and a lot of the times I cried, and he would come in there and hear me crying. Are you okay? He'd leave. He'd come check on me, you know, are you okay? I'm fine. But it's just like, you know, today we have to be strong for our kids. And Isaiah, you know, it hurt him tremendously, because, and that's something, looking back, I wish I had waited longer to tell him I was pregnant, because the little thing he went through each hurt with us, and I would have liked to have shielded him from a little bit of it. But it was something that I had to be strong for him also. So I needed God's strength a lot during that time. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it on my own.
Well, you found out that you were pregnant with Grace Anna. And tell us, was that like a normal pregnancy day one? Did you have any inclination of what was coming down the pike?
I told Grace Anna that she has been a, what we call a hot mess from the beginning. Very passionate about everything. And she was that way in the womb. I was sick the entire pregnancy. Every morning when my feet hit the floor, I would throw up. Oh. And I ended up in the hospital some, with my heart rate getting real high. You know, the first 3 months, they, you know, don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up with your history. You know, let's just take it day by day, month by month. And we got the first high resolution ultrasound. And I knew when he kept clicking over and over in one spot, I've had a lot of ultrasounds with the miscarriages and with my son. And I knew something wasn't right. And they told us that day, they described her a lot worse than she actually was. You know, the doctor that day did. And he gave us options, things we might want to choose. And we told him that there was no choice for us. You know, we wanted this child no matter what. And like I said, there was a couple of visits with the same doctor. And we ended up having to ask for a different doctor because he would not take no for an answer. and I continued to stay sick. I would go for 2-3 days in the hospital, then trying to get my heart rate down. I had a lot of excess fluid, amniotic fluid. But one thing I could eat, and I don't recommend this, but it's the only thing I could eat and keep down and tasted halfway decent, was a White Castle slider. Those were the only things that I could get down. I don't know if it was the onions, the pickles, but I owe White Castle a great thank you, because I just could not eat anything. and Grace hates them.
Are they gross? Yeah, she's giving me a thumbs down. Blah. That's like just about saying the only thing I could keep down is chicken nuggets. You know, it's just possibly be the healthiest thing for you.
Oh, tell her the King Buffet story. Oh. And I ended up
one of the things that, oh, it just, I love them so much, but the smell of them, I would just, would be bad. And it's those noodles, those Chinese noodles that you get at the buffet and stuff. And that is one of Grace Anna's favorite foods in the whole wide world.
And when she was pregnant with me, she got to the truck.
Oh, it was bad.
And she threw up in front of everyone with the door open.
Well, I have done something just like that lots of times.
And now she thinks that I would hate it. She thinks in the future Grace hates it. So I'm not eating it again. She's not standing after that.
No, I cannot even stand to look at them now.
So Grace was born, obviously. And what was that birth experience like?
It was like everything else that has been with her. It was very exciting.
Yep.
I got up that morning and my water broke, and we were in between vehicles. The one I had was older, and we had planned on getting a different vehicle, and it was in the shop. So it was just Isaiah and I, and he was 13, and we had no vehicle anywhere. My husband was at work, and I called and I said, I think the baby's coming. Are you sure? This is like the third time. I said, well, my water broke. Never heard anything else. Dial tone. He was home like in 7 minutes, and that is not responsible of him, but he was home very quickly. Long story short, made it to the hospital, and her heart rate started going up. Mine started going up, but the hospital was cram-packed. There was no empty rooms. So they ended up doing emergency C-section, and they took her away as soon as they got her. And I kept wondering, why aren't they letting me see her, you know? And they had told my husband, but they had not told me that she had swallowed the meconium, the first bowel movement, and they didn't know if she was going to make it or not. So they stitched me back up and wheeled me in the room, and nobody was telling me anything. And I was like, you know, when am I going to get to see her? My husband, well, when it, you know, they got to get her ready. Totally different experience. It was with my son at the same hospital. And then we got a knock on the door. The doctor pulled Jeff out, and he came back in. Of course, my husband had tears in his eyes. He said, she's okay. And I said, what do you mean she's okay? Then he tells me everything else. And he said, we can go down and see her, but they don't know what she has. And so we went down, and all I noticed was these huge cheeks with giant dimples in them. Most beautiful little girl I had ever seen in my life, just laying there. And I swear, it looked like she was smiling. You know, she just laid there like a little angel. I never noticed that she had scales on her body. I never even noticed it. And when we got back to the room, you know, the doctor said, well, you know, we're going to send her to a different hospital tomorrow. I don't know how to treat her. And then he started naming off all this stuff going on with her. And I was like, what scales? You know, what's he talking about? And when I looked at her again, you know, they kind of pointed out everything, and they transferred her. And we had such a great team at Central Baptist Hospital in Lexington. They would help me go to UK during the day and then come back to Central Baptist at night so I could see her in the ICU. And it took them about a week, and they sent us home with the wrong diagnosis. They sent us home with a different type of chondrodysplasia punctata. It's called Rhizo. You may have heard of it. And the kids usually don't live to be past 10. But she was eating really well, and she was breathing really well. And I thought, I don't think that's what it is. sure enough, it was within 3 weeks, I get a phone call and they said, well, we were wrong. She does have a form of it, but it's the dominant form. She can live a long life. She's just going to have some health complications and some stuff that she's going to have to face. And I did a little dance. I got off the phone and my mom and another lady was here and I didn't even tell them. I just started jumping up and down and praising the Lord and singing. It's like, what is it? They were wrong.
Yeah.
And we all knew in our hearts that they were wrong.
And so Grace Anna started to grow. And you had choices as a mama every day. So hard stuff while your baby was in the hospital, I would assume. And I read that you said, to take care of Grace Anna, I had to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. What did that mean? And what does that mean for people who are caregivers?
You have to rest. You have to still enjoy life, even though it seems like there's something extremely unfair going on. You have to find a way to find joy in life. And I was not going to raise her with the feeling that her life couldn't be as miraculous and amazing as anybody else's. So I had to be able to be that mom. And you can't be that mom when you're exhausted. You can't be that mom when you have all this pent up stuff inside you and nobody to talk about it to. Because you have to be able to talk to people you trust. And that was a little bit of a hurdle for us, especially when she got a little bit of celebrity about her with the Facebook and the social media. But you need that tight group of people that you can trust and that you can trust her with, because you can't rest and you can't go out and do things unless you have somebody that you can trust with her. And we are very fortunate to have, you know, my sister and her family. I have a friend, Tina, and Rebecca. Rebecca is Annie's mom, and Annie is Grace Anna's best friend. Oh. And we love Annie. And she's not getting to see her right now because of everything going on with the coronavirus. But she called the other night and she said to Grace Anna, I love her. Mm. So you definitely have to keep yourself healthy that way. And you also have to keep yourself healthy spiritually. You can't skip out on reading your Bible. You can't skip out on praying. You can't skip out on church. And, you know, there's been times we've not been able to go because of her surgeries and in a spica cast and stuff. But you can have church in your living room with 2 or 3 other people when you can't
the building. We're all learning that right now, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, so tell me, well, how did you figure out that Grace Anna sings, first of all?
Well, after her first spine surgery, her lungs collapsed. And, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do when your child's had spine surgery and their lungs collapsed. You can't pick them up. So she laid there 25, 26 days. And so I would lay my head on her bed and sing. My sister would,
and
my mom.
I almost died.
You did? When she got out and recovered from that, you know, I would sing to her every night. And we were laying in bed and she just started singing back, you know, like Amazing Grace, B-O-B-O, baby. That's one that I started out with. And I guess I can sing pretty well, but not like she does. And when she started singing back to me.
How old was she? Yeah.
You know, close to 2, right at 2, 18 months of 2 years old. It had a bravado, you know, the little quivering. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool. You know, I thought, well, that's kind of neat. You know, I didn't realize how special that sounds pretty cool. And then people start telling me, you know, she sings really good to be that young. And so I walk around the house singing, and somebody asks my husband, does that not drive you crazy that she does that? Because we do. Grace is just like me. We sing all the time. He said, no, that means they're happy. Mm. And I'm happy. And we are very patriotic. My husband's dad was in World War II. My grandpa was. We just got a lot of military veterans in our family. So we sang the Star Spangled Banner and a lot of the patriotic songs. So she had heard it enough that, you know, I had given her a bath and she started singing it with me. And I thought, that is just too cute. I want all these people that we've been in hospital stays with to see this. So I said, I'm going to set up her little page. They can go and just watch her little videos sing. I didn't really think much about it. And a couple of weeks go by. I hadn't looked back at it. You know, we get a phone call real late one night. And this is, you know, Sammy Kershaw's representative. And it's like, we love Grace Anna. And you tell her to keep singing. I was like, okay. You know, I really didn't believe, honestly. Who called that light and says something like that? And so I pulled up her page and it's like, oh, my dear law. I was like, this is nuts. And I woke my husband up. He's like, oh, my goodness. He said, what in the world has happened? And that's probably one of the funniest things she's done and didn't know she was doing it, you know, telling Naomi Judd to stop singing her song. To this day, I cannot believe she did that on live TV. I was just like, Grace, honey, please, you did not just do that. She did. So she's always like music. It's always come naturally. And we get a lot of comments, you know, how long has she been taking singing lessons? And I'm like, no, this is all natural. I'm sure that somebody could.
That is mommy's good mistake.
I don't know what that means, but
your good mistake. You didn't realize that 1.2 million Facebook followers.
Okay. I didn't know that it would. I see what you're saying.
I see where you're going right now.
Yeah.
Angela, I love this. I wonder what you say to moms whose kids have just been diagnosed with crazy things that stop their heart and have them wondering right now. Like, what do you have to say on this side of the journey or in the middle of this part of the journey right now to the moms who are just facing a diagnosis that seems really scary?
Part of it sounds sweet and part of it is tough. And I'm just coming from where what we had to do. It felt like to us when she got her diagnosis that we had been thrown into a dryer and the dryer turned on, just us two. Because there were no doctors in our area that had any idea what it was, what to do. And I hope parents know it's okay to be upset that your kid's not okay. I think a lot of times parents think just because you're upset, it means that you don't love your child the way she is. Nobody wants to see their child hurt or go through things that we've never been through. So I do think you have to mourn. And I know that's a strong word, but I think you have to mourn the ideal of having this kid that's going to be able to do all this stuff that more than likely they're not going to be able to do. And that's something that we've had to address with Grace Anna that she's had to accept. And then, you know, you have to rely on God, and God expects you to get up and stand up. I don't think he would have given you that child unless he knew that you were going to be able to be a strong advocate and parent for that child. So it's okay to mourn. It's okay to be upset, but you can't wallow in it. And you can't be depressed about it all the time. You have to find a way, however you can. And for us, it was our faith, just the people around us also. You have to get up and find joy in every circumstance. And there's a lot of kids with a lot worse diagnosis than Grace Anna has. And we see them a lot in hospitals. And every time you think your child has the worst life, there's always somebody in the same boat or worse. And that's something that I had to come to terms with. And Grace Anna has struggled with that a little, you know, why she is small and why she can't run like everybody else. And I think God has a purpose for everybody. And I think it's something we have to instill and believe. We just can't say it. We have to believe it and live it. So we want her to have a full life, and you can still have a full, happy life just because something's not what you wanted it to be or expected it to be.
Yep. Angela, I don't know that we've said Grace Anna's diagnosis yet. Can you explain to us what that is and kind of what that means for life today for Grace Anna?
She has a rare form of dwarfism called Conradi-Hunerman syndrome. With Grace Anna, it caused cataracts on her eyes. She's had 4 eye surgeries. She's got kyphosis and scoliosis of the spine. Her body grows at different rates. The right side grows at a different rate than the left, so the limbs on the left side are longer than those on the right, so it kind of causes her body to twist as it grows. She's got little dots in her bones with tiny holes in her bones, which can cause them to be weak. But she's been really, I mean, really strong. And all these surgeries she's had, her bones have grown back really well. She has some issues with her lungs, some cartilage messed up in her throat. There's just a lot of things that go along with it. And it can affect child from a mile to, you know, just the height of the person is short, or it can be severe. And Grace Anna can't walk like everybody else, but she can walk with her walker. And she's just started doing that here recently because she had two leg surgeries to straighten her legs. Amazing doctors in Dallas.
Amazing. Can you tell us, Grace Anna, you and your mama wrote a book. It looks like this. I have it for kids right here in front of me. And my girl read this book too. And I am really excited about this. And so I want to ask a question about how we can help our kids learn to interact with kids who are different from them. So when you see kids at a store or kids meet you for the first time, what is a good way for them to talk to you or say hi? How do you want them to interact with you?
I want them to treat me like I'm just like one of them.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just treat me like everybody else.
Yeah.
Don't notice I'm in a wheelchair or a little smaller. And that's something that we hope the book does, is I think so many times people look at somebody with a disability or disorder and they assume things about them. And she is just like any other little girl. And we get tickled. You know, people will say, my brother-in-law had somebody that he was waiting on where he works. And they said, I just feel sorry for that little Grace Anna. And he said, what do you mean? Why do you feel sorry for her? Don't feel sorry for her. Said, she's tough. And, you know, that's what I love about our community. And I'm sure there's lots of communities like it. When they see her, she's not like, poor little Grace Anna. She's like, hey, there's Grace Anna. Let's go see her. Let's go, you know, let's go play. And that's one reason we were so excited about that the local school system put in a inclusive playground where wheelchairs can be used and all the kids can play together. And we're hoping we can help find a sponsor to get the rest of it rubberized flooring so the wheelchairs can go everywhere. But they did a great thing, the school did. And it's just like she said, she wants to be treated like one of them, like everybody else.
Totally. I love that there's a playground where they can all play together. So I think this is really fun. And I wonder what your prayers are right now, Angela, for Grace Anna as she gets older.
I want her to seek what God has for her. And I wish somebody had given me that advice when I was a young woman, or even, you know, her age, 9 going on 10. Don't try to be what everybody else wants you to be. You know, I want her to be what God wants her to be and not to worry about what the world thinks about her. Because people will say things regardless if you go this way or this way or that way. You seek God first and everything else will fall in line. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I talk to my son. You know, don't try to be something you're not. Me is that she follows God, what he has in store for her.
Okay, I have one more question before we wrap up, and that's about siblings of our special needs kids and how important that relationship is. How did that happen for you guys? Your son had a couple of really good ideas. Yeah, tell us about Isaiah.
Isaiah, and I tell you, I've just been blessed because he is this huge guy. He's 6'4", but he is a giant teddy bear. That's the only way I can explain him. And, you know, he'd been praying for a brother or sister. You know, he asked Santa Claus to bring me a man because he thought a brother and sister would come out of that. So he wanted the brother or sister. So he was excited when she came. And I do believe you have to foster that relationship between a child without all these issues and the child with the issues, because sometimes the kids that don't have any issues are outside looking in and you're not doing stuff with them. They don't feel important. And I know it's hard to balance, but you have to make sure that kid knows they're special too and they deserve your time. He always loved to get up and help with her, and he does now. Unfortunately, he's to this whole fiasco with the viruses going on. So we probably are not going to get to see him for 2-3 months. But we just kind of did things that all of us could do together, whether it be trips to Gatlinburg or to the beach, things that he can enjoy, things she can enjoy, and things all of us can enjoy together. And there was moments that I had to have a wake up about, you know, I was leaving him out. I've not been a perfect parent. And we sat down with his dad before his dad died and said, you know, we've got to start being there more. We don't want him to get to the point where he starts rebelling because nobody is paying any attention to him. And so we did that. But Isaiah has just, gosh, he's always just been a really good kid. You know, you don't want to think your kids aren't perfect, but he's been really good.
Yeah. So he had this idea to help some people that had loved ones in the hospital, right? Can you tell me about that real quick?
Yeah. When we were in the hospital, when she had her first spine surgery, we got a lot of packages, cards and gifts and stuff. And then we got one that had the necessities. You know, like there was shampoo, there was soap, there was all this stuff that we really could use while we were in the hospital. And he said, Mom, you know, maybe we should do that for people now, now that we know what you really need when you're in there. And then we could put fun stuff for the kids, because there's a lot of kids that spend months and months in hospitals and have very mundane existence. They're laying there and they don't have a lot of stuff to play with. They don't have a lot of stuff to do. So we started making the Gracie Bug Bundles of Love, and we kind of personalize it for the child, things they like to do, blankets for them. And then also just stuff that the parents and the caregivers need to survive while they're there also. Socks and soap and toothpaste and little luxuries that hospitals usually don't. You know, we love the good toothpaste. The good stuff.
Me too. I love it that out of this, God's given Isaiah compassion for other families that are in the middle of that. Before we wrap up today, Grace Anna, can you answer a couple questions for me? What's your very favorite food?
A salad, number one. I like tomatoes, lettuce, and ranch dressing. That's all.
Oh, my. You're a healthy kiddo. All right. Favorite TV show?
Oh, gosh.
That's not a TV show.
I like this one. You can create your own animated videos. But they post it on YouTube now. It's called Go Animate. It's not actually a show, but you create your own videos.
What about Lost in the Wild?
Mommy, that's adult.
Well, that's stuff. Your favorite TV show.
I know that. I'm telling her about it.
I know, but your favorite TV show is Lost in the Wild. You love.
I know that. It's very interesting. And I do love Go Animate.
Okay.
So,
Gracina, do you love Jesus?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Well, you guys, I'm so grateful that you could be here to talk to us today about how precious Grace Anna is, but also how precious all the kids that God make are.
Are you gonna let me sing it, or what are you doing?
Do you want to sing one more to me?
I'm going to sing it again. How about that?
I would love that. I would love that so much.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God. All you see, how great is our God. Name above all names, we are worthy of all praise. Oh, see how great, oh, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing to me, how great is our God. All see how great is our God. I, how great is our God. Sing.
Thank you guys so much for spending time with me today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to put in the show notes today your two books and how they can get in contact with you. I highly recommend doing a little YouTubing just so that you can see Grace Anna singing these songs. I had a great time with my kids watching Grace Anna sing, getting ready for this interview. So, you guys.
Oh, yeah. And I also have a Twitter page, a Snapchat page, and also Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook.
And the website.
www.graceannasings.org on Google.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye. Take care. Okay. Bye. Aren't we grateful that God gives us gifts we would never have expected? Good gifts that require our steadfast trust. Wasn't Grace Anna the best? What part of today's interview stood out to you, or what's a good gift you wouldn't have asked for but needed? Maybe it even includes this time at home. You can hashtag Moms in Prayer or at Moms in Prayer or at Leaning High so we can join the conversation. Remember, we're on every social media platform as Moms in Prayer. We love to hear from you. This week, I want to directly ask you to give to Moms in Prayer. There's so much more we want to do, and some of that is slowed down by a financial need. It's easy to give by jumping on the website or texting the word steward to 41444. That's the word steward to the number 41444. Pray about it, will you, friend? Just a reminder that our show notes for today's episode and more about today's guests, Angela and Grace Anna, can be found on the blog at momsinprayer.org. Moms are making the difference. Moms who sing to their babies. Moms just like you. See you next week.